So we've completed chapter 28 of Canto 3. And in this chapter 29, Sasra, could you open the window? In this chapter 29, it is entitled The Explanation of Devotional Service by Lord Kapila Dev. So this will bring the topic of Sankhya Yoga and its performance basically to its conclusion. Because Sankhya Yoga, there is a combination of basically three elements. There is the practice of Astanga Yoga, whereby one practices in such a way all the different yam niyams and the asanas, all the rules and regulations, the proper practices of yoga, and practices the movement of the consciousness, the citta, throughout the body. And then through the process of pranayama, he controls the mind and then withdraws it from the sense objects. And dharan, he concentrates, and dhyan, he meditates. And finally, he focuses his consciousness fully on the beautiful form of the Lord. So that is one aspect of this Sankhya Yoga that Kapila Muni has described in the previous chapter. And then prior to that, he's described a more jnana yoga aspect, where jnana, of course, means knowledge. So one knows the physical makeup of the universe. One breaks the universe down. One is able to break the universe down into its components, the different elements. And there's 24 different elements, beginning with very, very subtle, the mahat, or the pradhan, and the mahat. And then it breaks further into ahankar and the three different modes of material nature, false ego, and then gradually from that subtle combination, mind, the demigods, intelligence, the working and knowledge acquiring senses, and then from the combination of ahankara and the mode of ignorance, all the different sense objects, the physical gross elements and the senses are created. So one realizes through that knowledge, one realizes that both the Lord, who is the prime creator of everything, and the living entity, they actually have nothing to do with these material elements. Because first of all, the Lord himself, he existed prior to the creation of the elements. So he is known as the creator. So the creator must, by definition, exist prior to the creation. So if the creation is of matter, then the one who creates that, he is non-material. If the creator is the creator of all matter, that means that no matter existed before he created it. That means the creator existed, but his existence is non-material. And the souls are injected within the womb of material nature. Savayonashukantaya Murtaya Sambhavatya Tashan Brahma Mahajyonir Aham Bijapada Pita. So Krishna injects with his glance the living entities prior to the creation within the womb of material nature, within this pradhan. He injects the living entities. That means the living entities also existed prior to creation, so they're also non-material. So how to separate again? The living entities are injected within, but yet they are non-material. Now how to separate them out again? That is the process of Sankhya. And that's what, if we remember, that's what Devahuti asks. How is this separation performed? And Kapila Muni's answer was through this process of Astanga Yoga. But when one gets to the point of meditation on the Lord, which was the end of the last chapter, then we've understood from Kapila Muni that this is not the end, just thinking about the Lord. Why? He's so beautiful, one can get enwrapped completely in thinking about him. That is actually shanta, the highest form of peace. But why isn't it the end? Because there is no active service. And the living entity, his business is to serve Krishna, perform devotional service. So that actually is the conclusion of the Jnana Yoga aspects, the Astanga Yoga aspects of the Sankhya Yoga. The conclusion is that we should serve Krishna. So without going through these different, very difficult to perform steps that we've heard about, one can actually directly serve Krishna. And if one does that, that is the element that brings perfection to Sankhya Yoga, to Jnana Yoga, to Astanga Yoga. Then that is called bhakti. So Kapila Muni has actually explained this already. And after hearing about devotional service, bhakti, and that's ultimately the conclusion, Devahuti, in the beginning of chapter 29, she asks a question. There's two verses that Srila Prabhupada puts together, 1 and 2. The second one begins, Yata Sankyeshu Kahitam Yanmulam Tat Prachakshate. So Yata Sankyeshu Kahitam, it is explained. Kahitam means is explained in Sankyeshu. In Sankhya philosophy, it is explained Yat Mulam. Mulam means the ultimate end or the root. So it explains that its ultimate end, and also the root actually, is tat prachakshate, what they call bhakti yogyasya, devotional service margam. The path of devotional service is actually that goal, that end, and actually the root of Sankhya. And then Bruhi Vistarsa Prabho. Bruhi, please explain at length. Prabhu, my dear Lord Kapila Dev, I want you, I beg you, I request you to explain to me this bhakti yoga. Please explain it in detail and length. So that is what Devahuti is asking. Here's the translation. Now in today's class I'm going to read much from the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Everyone please listen very carefully. Here is the translation to the first and second verse. Devahuti inquired, "My dear Lord, you have already very scientifically described the symptoms of the total material nature," that was two chapters ago, "and the characteristic of the spirit according to the Sankhya system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, bhaktya, which is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems. It is bhakti that brings the practice of any other system to its ultimate conclusion. Without that, without coming to the point of bhakti, without a trace at least of bhakti, one actually gets nothing, regardless of the system that he practices." So Prabhupada's going to, in his purport, explain something about what this chapter is going, what it is about, and then some other things. He begins. In this 29th chapter, the glories of devotional service are elaborately explained. And the influence of time on the conditioned soul is also described. The purpose of elaborately describing the influence of time is to detach the conditioned soul from his material activities. And if one actually pays attention to time, and we're going to hear something about it in this chapter, and we're going to see the results of time on the living entity who is a conditioned soul. We're going to hear of that, the results of time upon him in chapter 30, 31, and 32. But if one pays attention to time, one will become very detached. Why? It's because time ruins everything that we're attached to. And one who knows that in advance understands that he should not be attached, because it's useless, because it's going to cause him so much misery and it's going to be ripped from him anyway. So time, this explanation of time, is going to cause detachment. In the previous chapter, material nature, the purpose of elaborately describing the influence of time is to detach the conditioned soul from his material activities, which are considered to be simply a waste of time. In the previous chapter, material nature, the spirit, and the Supreme Lord or Super Soul are analytically studied. And in this chapter, the principles of Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, the execution of activities in the eternal relationship between the living entity and the personality of Godhead are explained. Bhakti Yoga, devotional service, is the basic principle of all systems of philosophy. All philosophy which does not aim for devotional service to the Lord is considered merely mental speculation. It is not accurate. Prabhupada continues a little later. Sankhya philosophy is the analytical study of all existence. One has to understand everything by examining its nature and characteristics. This is called acquirement of knowledge. But one should not simply acquire knowledge without reaching the goal, without reaching the goal of life, or the basic principle for acquiring knowledge, Bhakti Yoga. So Bhakti Yoga is the goal, the end, and also the means, the sadhana and the sadhya. Kriti sadhya bhavetsa sadhana devi nitya sadasya bhavasya prakata middhi sadhyata. Bhakti is actually the way that one gets the goal, and it is the goal too. If we give up Bhakti Yoga and simply busy ourselves in the analytical study of the nature of things as they are, then the result will be practically nil. It is stated in the Bhagavatam that such engagement is something like husking a paddy. There is no use beating the husk if the grain has already been removed. But by the scientific study of material nature, the living entity, and the super soul, one has to understand the basic principle of devotional service to the Lord. So what is Prabhupada explaining in his purport? That the purpose of the analytical study of matter is to come to the point of bhakti. The analytical study of something is to understand its nature and characteristics. So when one studies matter and one's relationship with matter, one must come to the conclusion of bhakti. So if somehow or another one thinks that one should give up bhakti and go and study and analyze material nature, one is missing the actual point. So Devahuti has asked, please explain bhakti. This is the goal, the mulam, the basic principle and the goal. Now in text 3, Virago yena purusho bhagavan savato bhave. Devahuti continued, my dear Lord, please also describe in detail, both for me and for people in general, the continual process of birth and death. For by hearing of such calamities, we may become detached from the activities of this material world. So more time, she's asking about time and fruitive activities. So in the end of this chapter, Kapila Muni is going to describe time, and then in the subsequent chapters, the following chapters, he's going to describe fruitive activities and their results. What does fruitive activities mean? We use that term all the time, fruitive.
Need time to get some gratification.
Yeah, some fruit. Just like we plant a tree. An apple tree or a pear tree, We're doing it for a purpose. We don't exactly want the tree itself, but when you plant an apple tree or an orange tree or a peach tree or a plum tree, what do you want? Well, you're in the wrong business, Prabhu. I think you might be a little bananas. You want the fruit, yes?
Yes.
Even the nuts want fruit. When they plant, even if they are bananas. Do bananas have seeds? They did. Some do. What is it? There's this kind in that I eat. In South India, the bananas have seeds? Nepal, they must have seeds. Not some. There's some kind that have big seeds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Kerala, you get that in some southern part of India.
Oh, in Kerala, they say bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. If banana trees give banana fruits, what do people trees give?
Umbrellas.
No. No, Prabhu. They give. Yeah, but they don't. One would think they do, but they don't. In any case, fruitive work means when one performs an activity, not for the activity itself, not for the engagement in the activity itself, but to get something later on as a result from that activity. So, fruit of work always ends in calamitous conditions. So by hearing about that, one again becomes detached. So the time element mixed with someone's work, materialistic work, fruit of work, then one gets a calamity ultimately. Please also describe, text 4, eternal time, which is a representation of your form, and by whose influence people in general engage in the performance of pious activities. Here is, read some of this purport. In this verse, the word samsriti is very important. Sreya sriti means the prosperous path of advancement towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And samsriti means the continued journey on the path of birth and death towards the darkest region of material existence. People who have no knowledge of this material world, God, and their intimate relationship with Him, are actually going to the darkest region of material existence in the name of progress and the material advancement of civilization. To enter the darkest region of material existence means to enter into a species of life other than the human species. Ignorant men do not know that after this life they are completely under the grip of material nature, and they will be offered a life which may not be very congenial. It won't be pleasant. How a living entity gets different kinds of body will be explained in the next chapter. This continual change of bodies and birth and death is called samsara. Devahuti requests our glorious son Kapila Muni to explain about this continued journey, to impress upon the conditioned souls that they are undergoing a path of degradation by not understanding the path of bhakti yoga, devotional service. And in the purport to text 4. However ignorant one may be regarding the path of good fortune and the path down to the darkest region of ignorance, everyone is aware of the influence of eternal time, which devours all the effects of our material activities. The body is born at a certain time, and immediately the influence of time acts upon it. From the date of the birth of the body, the influence of death is also acting. The advancement of age entails the influence of time on the body. If a man is 30 or 50 years old, then the influence of time has already devoured 30 or 50 years of the duration of his life. So it's a very cynical way to look at cynical, we are very cynical about material life. Everyone is conscious of the last stage of life when he will meet the cruel hands of death. But some consider their age and circumstances, concern themselves with the influence of time, and thus engage in pious activities so that in the future they will not be put into a low family or an animal species. But everyone, there is no avoiding the effect of time, even if one, due to piety or good acts done in this or previous lives, gets a fortunate situation. Still, time will crush everything. So Kapila Muni, or Devahuti rather, has so far asked Kapila Muni to describe devotional service, time and fruit of activities, the effects of fruit of activities, materialistic, selfish activities performed to gain something, some type of enjoyment. And then in text 5, which is the final verse of her questions, "My dear Lord, you are just like the sun." Why? Because the sun gives light. Light is knowledge. Krishna Surya Sammaya Haya Andhakara. By light, darkness vanishes. Darkness is ignorance. So she's requesting him in his explanation of these three topics to give light and remove the darkness through that knowledge of her ignorance. "You are just like the sun, for you illuminate the darkness of the conditional life of the living entities. Because their eyes of knowledge are not open, they are sleeping eternally in that darkness without your shelter." So to be without shelter is very, very frightening. In illusion, we don't think of it in that way. We want to be independent. But actually, ultimately, to not have a shelter is very, very frightening. And practically speaking, everyone is longing for that, the security of a secure shelter. Something that we can put ourselves under, which will give us solace, happiness, protection. And that something is not a thing, it's a person ultimately, Krishna. So in ignorance we turn our back on this and think that we will make our own way. And ultimately this making our own way is doomed and it becomes crash. So the light that Kapila Muni will give us the knowledge of where to take shelter and that we need shelter. In ignorance we forget that we need shelter even. This is truly illusion. And this illusion is shattered when there's a catastrophe. Our pride is shattered at the time of death. The thinking that we don't need anyone is shattered at the time of death. And then, if we are pure and pious, we will take full shelter of Krishna. But that practice has to be done in life. So the living entities are, with eyes closed, are sleeping eternally in that darkness of ignorance without your shelter, and therefore they are falsely engaged by the actions and reactions of their material activities, just being pushed around by their activities and their reactions, the karma, and suffering, and trying to plan for enjoyment, and then the enjoyment cut. And then ultimately, we'll hear about it in the next chapters, what the living entity's life is like. So engaged by the actions and reactions of their material activities, they appear to be very fatigued. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It appears that Srimati Devahuti, the glorious mother of Lord Kapila Dev, is very compassionate for the regrettable condition of people in general, who not knowing the goal of life are sleeping in the darkness of illusion. It is the general feeling of the Vaishnava or devotee of the Lord that he should awaken them. Similarly, Devahuti is requesting her glorious son to illuminate the lives of the conditioned souls so that their most regrettable conditional life may be ended. The Lord is described here in his Yoga Bhaskar, the son of the system of all yogas. Devahuti has already requested her glorious son to describe Bhakti Yoga, and the Lord has described Bhakti Yoga as the ultimate yoga system. Bhakti Yoga is like the sun-like illumination for delivering the conditioned souls whose general condition is described here. They have no eyes to see their own interest. They do not know that the goal of life is not to increase the material necessities of existence, because the body will not exist more than a few years. The living beings are eternal, and they have their eternal need. If one engages only in caring for the necessities of the body, not caring for the eternal necessities of life, then he is part of a civilization whose advancement puts the living entities in the darkest region of ignorance. Sleeping in that dark region, one does not get any refreshment, but rather gradually becomes fatigued. He invents many processes to adjust this fatigue condition, but he fails and thus remains confused. The only path for mitigating his fatigue is the struggle in the struggle for existence is the path of devotional service or the path of Krishna consciousness. So Devahuti is asking out of compassion. And Maitreya begins, because he's narrating this story, Maitreya Muni is telling this to Vidura. So he begins before telling what Kapila Muni says. He says, "O best amongst the Kurus," speaking to Vidura, "the great sage Kapila, moved by great compassion and pleased by the words of his glorious mother, spoke as follows." Prabhupada's purport. Lord Kapila was very satisfied by the request of his glorious mother, because she was thinking not only in terms of her personal salvation, but in terms of all the fallen conditioned souls. The Lord is always compassionate towards the fallen souls of this material world, and therefore he comes himself or sends his confidential servants to deliver them. Since he is perpetually compassionate towards them, if some of his devotees also become compassionate towards them, he is very pleased with the devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that persons who are trying to elevate the condition of the fallen souls by preaching the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, namely full surrender unto the personality of Godhead, those persons are very dear to the Lord. Thus, when the Lord saw that his beloved mother was very compassionate towards the fallen souls, he was pleased, and he also became compassionate towards her. Yes. You have to listen very carefully. The recording may not be so good.
We are entangled by the infection of material qualities. We have to conquer over the quality, the infection of quality of Rajasthama. And then we have to situate ourselves in Satogun. Then we are in a safe position. And if we do not allow to be infected again by the Rajagun and Tamagun, if we keep ourselves pure in Satagun, that is called Shuddha Satta, simply purified Satagun, then we will be able to understand what is Krishna, what is God. So, not normally we have to acquire the qualities of Satama, Satta, Sama, Saucha, Ajava, Titikya, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Artitam, Brahma, Dharma, Sahab. These are the characteristics of Satama. Truthful, so much so truthful that as they are said by commentators, that if an enemy asks some secret from you, you can say, suppose a thief has come. Now what you have got in your box? So if you say, I have got so many thousands of these are something. A truthfulness should be like that. Even to an enemy, you should be disclosed. That is called truthfulness. Satta, sama, bhama, saucha, cleanliness, then controlling the mind, controlling the senses, simplicity, very simple behavior, ajava, tirikha, tolerance, and full knowledge, vijnanam, practical application of knowledge, asrikam, full faith in Vedic literature and in God. These are the qualifications of Satama. So, everything can be attained very nicely and easily simply by this sadhu-sama. Sadhu-sama. Therefore, you repeatedly say, that we are trying to create some sadhu so that in different parts of the world they preach Krishna consciousness and people will be able to associate with them and they will become Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. That sadhu sama, it is very essential. People are suffering on account of being contaminated by the tamogun and rajogun. Becoming entangled simply by lusty desires. Always. Just like cats and dogs. So, they are becoming more and more entangled. Unfortunately, they do not know that there is life after death, but they do not know what kind of life is going to happen next after death. They are blind, andha, very upaniyamana. Their leaders are also blind. They do not know what is the aim of life, what is the future of life. And they are leading them. They are also blind. Especially in this day, the human society is in great danger. They do not care. What is next? There is next life. We get his information from Krishna. Tathādehāntara-prāpti. The āntara-prāpti there is. How we can deny it? The authority say. And we have got experience also. We are having the āntara from babyhood to childhood, from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youthhood. In this way, we have changed so many bodies. Dehanta, this is called Dehanta. Similarly, after death there is Dehanta, it is very reasonable, but people do not believe. So this is our position, and the human life is the opportunity to stop this Dehanta. To stop this dhyanta, that is the main business. And how it can be done? Simply by understanding Krishna. And how you can understand Krishna? Simply by association of the devotee. Yes. It is not very difficult. Adu sadhya tatos adu samma. You will understand it. If you get some faith, now I shall become free from this material attachment. Then, as it is advised here, Sarva sadhu sutkrita, attachment which has got some material enjoyment. Similar attachment should be for the sound. That's all. Suppose I want to drink, and I become mad without getting any drinking. Similarly, if I become mad without sadhu sangha, then you are devotee. You have to simply divert the attention. Not to speak of drinking, even those who are smokers, if he cannot smoke for 1 hour, his throat becomes dry, easily, immediately. The idea of God, attachment for the me, similar attachment for sadhu, will be our reward. Tat pita sadhu, that is to be loved. That you can learn with sadhu sangha, if you mix in with sadhu. Therefore our mission is, if we can create some sadhu, and they will distribute themselves all over the world, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prithivite ache jato mahodaya vidyan. Sarvatra prachara bhai vimadna. He wants that in every village, every town of the whole world, there may be a center of Krishna consciousness, so that people will take advantage of it, and they will also become sadhu. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness.
So seeing the compassion of his mother towards the fallen souls, Kapila Muni was pleased, and he also became compassionate to his mother. So there is an important lesson in that for us. If we want Krishna's mercy and compassion to fall upon us, there is a hint there. Text 7. So now Kapila Muni is going to begin to describe devotional service. And then he, at the end of the chapter, he'll describe time. And then in the succeeding chapters, he'll describe fruit of activities. So the last two, time and fruit of activities, he's going to describe on the request of Devahuti to help us with our detachment. Because on one side there is Bhakti Yoga, which is basically spiritual life. On the other side is material life. So we need a pull towards bhakti and a push away from material life. So both will be given. So text 7 through 10, he's going to explain the different varieties of devotional service first, because devotional service itself being is pure, but it can be practiced in different ways depending upon our consciousness. So first, devotional service in 7. In ignorance, then passion, then in goodness, and then he will define what is pure devotional service. So we have to listen very carefully. And there's a tendency when we hear about devotional service in the different modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, like that, we think, oh, he's like that, or he's like that. Oh, look at that one, he's like that. Look at this one. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to think, oh, I'm like that, and come up to a better standard. And this one's like this, and this one's like that. Yeah. Tendencies are very deep. So Kapila Muni says, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Text 8. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist So this term separatist is used on two occasions. It means one who has a separate interest from the pleasure of Krishna. Pleasing Krishna, when that's one's only interest, that is purity. When one has separate interests, he is a separatist. Bhinadrik, his vision is separate. He doesn't see himself as a servant of Krishna. He sees himself as something else. So devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It has already been stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, that the highest, most glorious religion is the attainment of causeless, unmotivated devotional service. In pure devotional service, the only motive should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's fruit of work done with the motive of gaining something in the end for oneself, and then there is pure devotional service, work done just in such a way for no other reason other than to please Krishna. The only motive should be, in pure devotional service, the only motive should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is not actually a motive, but that is the pure condition of the living entity. In the conditioned stage, when one engages in devotional service, he should follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master in full surrender. The spiritual master is the manifested representative of the Supreme Lord because he receives and presents the instructions of the Lord as they are by disciplic succession. It is described in Bhagavad Gita that the teachings therein should be received by disciplic succession. Otherwise, there is adulteration, there is impurity added. To act under the directions of a bona fide spiritual master with a motive to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pure devotional service. But if one has a motive for personal sense gratification, that one, that person's like this and that person's like that, he's not sincere. His devotional service is manifested differently. Such a man may be violent, proud, envious, and angry, and his interests are separate from the Lord's. One who approaches the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. He thinks that he is the best devotee. Devotional service executed in this way is not pure. It is mixed and is of the lowest grade, tamasa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that a Vaishnava who is not of good character should be avoided. A Vaishnava is one who has taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life. But if one is not pure and still has motives, then he is not a Vaishnava of the first order of good character. One may offer his respects to such a Vaishnava because he has accepted the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of life. But one should not keep company with a Vaishnava who is in the mode of ignorance. So what do we do with that? It means that if we look at ourselves as so contaminated, proud, envious, etc., therefore I don't want anyone to see me, talk to me, what will we do? So at least we should be a little humble. That's what we should do. We should be a little humble. We could see our bad qualities and see the good qualities of others and be a little humble. Text 9. Vishayanabhisandaya yashaishvarameivacha acchadavat The worship of deities in the temple by a separatist. Again, the term separatist, meaning one who has his own interest, trying to get something, even a little bit for himself, other than doing everything just for the pleasure of Krishna. He's a separatist. So the worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. Purport. The word separatist must be understood carefully. The Sanskrit word in this connection, words in this connection are bhinadrik, and in this verse, prithagbhava. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees, or devotees in the mode of passion and ignorance, think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. And it can be very gross. So these are the subtle, especially the desire for prestige or fame for oneself. Pratishta. So this is the separatist mentality. Actually, pure devotion is explained in the previous chapter. The mind of the Supreme Lord and the mind of the devotee should be dovetailed. A devotee should not wish anything but to execute the desire of the Supreme. That is oneness. When the devotee has an interest or will different from the interest of the Supreme Lord, his mentality is that of a separatist. When the so-called devotee desires material enjoyment without reference to the interest of the Supreme Lord, or he wants to become famous or opulent by utilizing the mercy or grace of the Supreme Lord, he is in the mode of passion. Let's finish that purport. Mayavadis, however, interpret this word separatist in a different way. They say that while worshipping the Lord, one should think himself one with the Supreme Lord. This is another adulterated form of devotion within the modes of material nature. The conception that the living entity is one with the Supreme is in the mode of ignorance. Oneness is actually based on oneness of interest. A pure devotee has no interest but to act on behalf of the Supreme Lord. When one has even a tinge of personal interest, his devotion is mixed with the three modes of material nature. So purity is very rare, and very wonderful, very wonderful. It's love, it is caused by love. When one acts simply for the benefit of another, that is love. It cannot be forced, actually. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. Now, that describes the three different platforms of mixed devotion. Of course, there are so many varieties of these. Actually, Prabhupada explains towards the end of the purport to 10. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness can be divided into 81 categories. There are different devotional activities, such as hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, offering prayers, rendering service, and surrendering everything. And each of them can be divided into three qualitative categories. There is hearing in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, and in the mode of goodness. Similarly, there is chanting in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness, etc. 3 multiplied by 9 equals 27, and when again multiplied by 3, it becomes 81. One has to transcend all such mixed material devotional service in order to reach the standard of pure devotional service, as explained in the next verses. In other words, there's so many varieties of the coloring. Goodness is like the yellow color, and passion is like red, and ignorance is blue. So it's not just that there is the three, blue, red, and yellow, but you can mix them together and get a whole spectrum of colors. So similarly, there's a spectrum of coverings over our consciousness as we perform devotional service, as we hear, as we chant. Someone can be chanting and thinking, oh, I'll be famous as a great kirtan leader. So he's chanting Krishna's names or giving Bhagavatam class in the same way. I'll become famous in that way, and then everyone will think I'm wonderful or whatever. So all these type of things, subtle and very, very gross as when someone is doing devotional service and collecting money, taking money for himself, as gross as that, or as subtle as wanting some prestige from what one is doing. So it is in our interests to remove all the different coverings over our consciousness and rather allowing our motivation just to be for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees and nothing else, no other reason for doing it, not even to get peace and freedom, etc., just for the pleasure of Krishna. This is purity. Anyabhilasita sanyam gyanakamanavrita anakulena krishna nashidram. Now, in 12, 11 and 12, 13 and 14, there is the description of pure devotional service. 11 and 12. These are, 11 and 12 are positive, and the 13 is negative, definition by negation. 13 is the positive. Here's what pure devotional service is. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental names and quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is residing in everyone's heart. When one loves to hear about Krishna, attracted to it. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. So if one has that, his consciousness will become ecstatic and it will flow towards Krishna. Prabhupada's purport. The basic principle of this unadulterated, what does unadulterated mean? Yes, without anything other than the actual substance, pure. Like in India you get butter. What is the brand of the butter? Amal, which means amal, which means no mal. Mal means impurities. So it's free from all impurities, so the label says. So it is amal, devotional service. So the basic principle of this unadulterated pure devotional service is love of Godhead. No other reason to be doing this service, this seva, other than love to please the beloved. Madguna Shruti Matrena means just after hearing about the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These qualities are called nirgun. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he is attractive to the pure devotee. There is no need to practice meditation to attain such attraction. The pure devotee is already on the transcendental stage, and the affinity between him and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural. It is not forced. He just naturally loves to hear about Krishna in the same way. Well, that's the way love is. When one loves another, one loves to hear about them, to see them. It doesn't have to be forced or pushed. Or regulated. It is natural and is compared to the Ganges water flowing towards the sea. The flow of the Ganges water cannot be stopped by any condition. Similarly, a pure devotee's attraction for the transcendental name, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Godhead cannot be stopped by any material condition. So when one is pure, it's not that one is chanting and he's always looking at the counterbeats. How many more do I have left so I can be finished? It's not like that. Rupa Goswami describes the nectar that he's experiencing by chanting the holy names. The word anvichina, without interruptions, is very important in this connection. No material condition can stop the flow of the devotional service of the pure devotee. The word ahaituki means without reason. A pure devotee does not render loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for any cause or for any benefit, material or spiritual. This is the first symptom of unalloyed devotion, anyabhilasa-tisanyam. He has no desire to fulfill by rendering devotional service. Such devotional service is meant for the Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not for anyone else. Text 13. So this is, text 13 says what he is, what are his symptoms, what he does have. He has an attraction to hear about Krishna and to always serve him for no reason other than it is natural for him, it is pure. And then what doesn't he have, what doesn't he want? A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation. Salokya, Shashti, Samipya, Sarupya, Ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't want anything even to get out of this material world. He doesn't care. Janmani, Janmani, Shvare, Bhagatad, Bhakti, Ahaituki, Tai. Salokya, that means to live on the same planet in the general vicinity. Like the residents of Dwarka lived, some of them only saw Krishna when he came out every day. And then Sharshti, to have opulences equal to the Lord. Samipya, to be an associate of the Lord. Other residents of Dwarka, they would be saw him more intimately in the palace. They were personal associates. Samipya, liberation. Sarupya, have the same form of the Lord. Ekatva, to become one with the Lord. They won't accept that they don't have any desire that has anything to do with their own self-interest. Purport. Lord Chaitanya teaches us how to execute pure devotional service out of spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Shikshastaka, he prays to the Lord, O Lord, I do not wish to gain from you any wealth, nor do I wish to have a beautiful wife, nor do I wish to have many followers. All I want from you is that in life after life, I remain a pure devotee at your lotus feet. There is a similarity between the prayers of Lord Chaitanya and the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya prays in life after life, indicating that a devotee does not even desire the cessation of birth and death. The yogis and empiric philosophers desire cessation of the process of birth and death, but a devotee is satisfied to remain even in this material world and execute devotional service, because in that devotional service he experiences Krishna, and that's what he cares about. He wants to be with Krishna like that and serve him, and in that service he finds him. So he doesn't care for anything other than that pleasure of Krishna, and in that mood Krishna is always with him. Text 14. And what is the result of such pure devotional service? Always working to please Krishna, then who will take care of me? What happens? By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, text 14, as I have explained, Kapila Muni says, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and be situated in the transcendental stage, as is the Lord. One comes to the level and, practically speaking, enjoys on the same level as Krishna. Even though that is not his desire at all, his desire is to please Krishna, but he enjoys, he ends up being free from the modes of nature, free from all suffering, free from birth, death, old age and disease, and he enjoys on the same level as Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. We'll stop here. So now Kapila Muni, we'll hear tomorrow, his description of how to execute pure devotional service. So it's late, so we don't have time for questions. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Prabhupada.